In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, brothers and sisters, I could switch to another gospel or something else and not show you that I made an error today. I actually picked the wrong reading from Colossians. It's very close in the calendar, and I made a mistake. And I thought the reader made a mistake, but it was my mistake. However, this reading from Colossians is so wonderful and so familiar, because I think we actually had it recently, that I want to talk about it again, and I want to kind of break a rule here, okay? The rule in sermons is you try to keep it simple, not have multiple points. Well, sometimes I break that rule. And the gospel about the ruler who asked about what shall I do to be saved, and the one about the 10 virgins, the 5 wise and 5 foolish, ties in very much to what the apostle is saying. It seems very clear to me. It sort of leaps off the page. Now, as a pastor, I see common problems with my flock. Most of them I share. I'd say probably all of them at some point I have had. And that is these things. These are sort of general things that affect us and make our life sort of mediocre instead of what it should be. We were born for greatness. We were born for joy. We were born for heaven to be in us now, not later. Yes, we are born to struggle, and we're born to have deep feelings about our own unworthiness and about the evil in the world, and that should, there should be pain in our hearts, but there should also be great joy because the Lord has come. The Lord has made us more than conquerors. And a lot of times, we don't have this joy. As a pastor, I see this constantly, where people are not experiencing joy in their life. Their life is difficult and hard. Every day is hard, and the next day they think is going to be harder. And once they get over one mountain, there's going to be another one. And this is why, I believe. Sort of some general things. Now, one is that people are not motivated. And that, if you're not motivated to struggle for the gospel, well, you're going to suffer. You're just going to not know why. You're going to think you're suffering because you don't have a good enough job, or because your family doesn't understand you, or because you don't have enough money, or whatever other problems you have in life. But really, the point of your life is perfection. And if a person doesn't know that, then they will be unhappy. Even those that are rich, even those that have everything in life or appear to have everything in life, if they have the wrong motivations, then their life is empty. And I see that sometimes in people. So we must have motivation and understanding of why we are here and where we are going. And the epistle speaks of that very, very strongly. Also, people get discouraged. Discouraged because they have sins they seem to be repeating, bad situations in life that are not getting better. And this discouragement leads to more problems. Even biologically, when we have bad thoughts, we have bad biology. We have stress hormones and we get sick and we can't sleep or we sleep too much. All kinds of problems because of our thoughts. But if we remind ourselves why we were born and what God has done for us, then we should not be discouraged even though we're sinners. I said last night, I don't remember the exact quote, I believe it's from Deuteronomy, but if you seek after the Lord with all your heart, you will find him. He guarantees it. So don't be discouraged. That's an easy thing to say. How do you do it? We'll talk about that in a minute. But this is another problem, discouragement. So one is people are sometimes not motivated about what their life is all about. That's why I ask that question all the time. What is the meaning of your life? It's a very important question. It has to be answered every day. And then discouragement. I see that people are confused. We live in an age where good is called bad and bad is called good. Where having morals means that you are phobic or that you are too unloving or something like that. And we also live in an age when there's so much entertainment and so much distraction, we can't hear ourselves think, much less pray. A friend of mine has said it's very hard to carry on a conversation with someone when there's a freight train going through your head. You ever been next to a freight train? I used to walk by tracks all the time at lunch. And sometimes the train would go by. The engineer hated it, but I'd stand really close to the tracks. And it was so loud. That's what's going on in our heads. We don't know how to be able to have quiet. Most of you don't know that. It's really hard to be quiet and pray with quietude. And so there's confusion because there's all this stuff happening in our lives. When actually there's one thing needful. And the good news is that we will accomplish this one thing needful. Now, it's not going to be easy to accomplish, but it will be accomplished. So that's another thing, confusion. Also, I guess this goes with not being motivated. People have the wrong goals. They don't wake up in the morning saying, the first thing is, this is the next day of my life to be closer to God, to learn a little more of Him, to humble myself a little bit, to have a little more perfection in my life. Instead, the goals are, well, I got to go to work, I got to do the laundry, I got to get the dry cleaning, or other goals such as, you know, I've got to get my education, I eventually want to be somebody that, you know, shows up in the newspaper, whatever it is. These things hold us back. I said not being motivated, being discouraged, being confused, having bad goals. Now, the epistle and the gospels really attack all of those. Now, the apostle says, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. That's true every day. That's true on the bad days and on the good days. That's true on the days when you're really kind of, you know, depressed. That's true on the days when you don't say your prayers. That's true on the days when you just got ickiness in your heart. It's true on the happy days and then the unhappy days. You have to remember that it's true. This is what you were born for. Christ is our life. He came that we might have life. And have it abundantly. And we will appear with him in glory. Now, we don't look that glorious right now. We don't act that glorious. All kinds of unglorious things happen every day. We have unglorious thoughts, unglorious actions, all kinds of stuff. But we will appear with him in glory. Do you believe it? I don't think we always do. I've said many times before, the primary problem with us is we don't believe in the resurrection. We say we do. But if we believed in it, we'd live it. And it would be the only thing we cared about. Nothing else would matter. But a lot of other stuff does matter. It's the stuff that doesn't matter that we think about and that we think matters. And what happens? We have all these problems. So Christ is our life, and he will appear in glory, and we will be with him. This is what we are aiming for. This is the purpose of our life, pure and simple. So then the apostle says, you always got to watch the apostle Paul when he says, therefore. When he says, therefore, you got to listen closely. Mortify, therefore, your members, which are upon the earth. And he goes through a list of base sins, mostly sexual sins, by the way. Fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection. By the way, that's homosexual relations. We shouldn't be afraid to say that they are sins. They take a person away from God. I think the actual word there is porneia, which refers from the word which we get pornography from, unclean sexual relations, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. He says, therefore do these things, mortify your flesh for these things. That's the reason. That's the reason why you don't have sex before you get married. That's the reason why you struggle to be clean in the way you think. That you don't judge others. That you're not angry towards others. That you shut your mouth when you want to say something and you know you shouldn't. That's the reason. What he just said preceding. Christ, who is our life, shall appear, and then shall ye also appear with him in glory. That's your purpose. And so all these other things that he talks about will keep you from your purpose. And that's why we struggle against sin. Not enough people know this. Our whole world doesn't understand it. Now we have politicians and governments that are legislating that we should have immorality because they have no idea what life is for. They look at life only in what they see and feel and touch and what gives them pleasure. And they basically have the idea, if it's pleasurable, it's good. There's good pleasure and bad pleasure. And this bad pleasure leads us away from God. That's why you struggle against your sins. If you don't understand that, then you will never be successful. Because we always do things, always, if we really believe in them. Somebody could force you to do something for a long time, but as soon as they go away, then you're going to go back to your old habits. And you can force yourself to do something for a long time. You can force yourself to live in a moral way or to try to control your thoughts. But if you don't understand why, you're never going to be successful. Christ is our life. We'll appear with him in glory. He's pure and perfect and holy. We want to be pure and perfect and holy, to be in his presence. You can't be in his presence without being pure and perfect and holy. The transfiguration showed that. He showed himself to his apostles and they couldn't take it. They fell down. They were terrified. They were confused. Not because he punished them, but because they weren't pure yet. They became pure. And now they're with him in glory and they intercede for us. This is why you struggle against your sins, brothers and sisters. This is a good thing. You have to remember it. It's something we need to tell our young people too. They don't understand this. The whole world is telling them, don't struggle against your sins. Why should you do it? It's outmoded or it's just being super correct. Or it won't work anyway. We struggle against our sins, especially base sins, you know, sexual sins, jealousy, anger, covetousness. Those are base things. If you can't get done with those things, you're not going to get to the higher things and be able to have purity in your heart, to be able to have love for everyone. We struggle against these base sins because we were born for glory. Then he goes on and he gives other sins, which are actually sort of, it's a weird word, the higher. I couldn't think of how to really describe it. If you can't deal with base things, base selfishness and base sexual problems and base jealousy and anger and covetousness, then you can't come to the higher things. He says, put off all these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Then he goes even higher. Lie not to one another, seeing that you have put off the old man with his deeds. Are you doing that? When you went into the font, the old man died. What are we doing reviving him? There's a reason to struggle against all these sins because they start to bring back that old man. And they never will lead to happiness. Now, how does it connect with the Gospels? Well, the ruler came to Jesus and said, what good thing should I do to inherit eternal life? So Jesus answers him really obliquely. He doesn't really answer the question because the man wasn't ready to hear the answer to the question. But he says, you know the commandments. Don't commit adultery, don't kill, don't steal. Do not bear false witness. Honor thy father and mother. He says, I've done all these. All right? So the Lord says, you lack one thing. Sell all you have, give to the poor, and come follow me. This man didn't understand what the purpose of his life was. He thought there were things he was supposed to do, but he didn't understand why. The whole purpose of doing things or not doing things that we consider to be sins is to be able to follow the Lord because he will appear in glory and we will be with him. That's why. This man didn't understand that. Later on, the apostles came to him privately and says, who can be saved? Because Jesus had made that example, that metaphor about it's easier for a camel to pass through a needle's eye than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of heaven. And the apostles were distraught. How can anybody be saved? It seemed like the bar was too high. People get discouraged. And the Lord reminded them, what's impossible with men is possible with God. But you got to keep remembering what you're here for, why you were born. You were born for glory. Now, the gospel about the 10 virgins is fascinating because they were all good, right? They were virgins. Virginity is a symbol in the scriptures many times of purity. And yet, 5 of the virgins didn't go into the kingdom. They were cast out. St. Seraphim of Sarov says, and he got this from Abba Macarius, that they had not acquired the Holy Spirit. So they'd lived their life following rules, but not for purpose, not with purpose. And so perhaps they stayed free of base sins, but they never acquired the Holy Spirit. That's the reason you're here, to acquire the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit purifies and makes holy and speaks to us in words that cannot be uttered, the things of God. That's why you were born. And then, of course, reborn in the font. That's how those Gospels tie in. It might be a little bit complicated, but it's very beautiful. I want to encourage you, no matter what you're going through, no matter if you got a sin that you can't get over, maybe a really bad one, maybe one you haven't even been able to talk to me about yet. You were born for glory. Don't give up. Struggle against your sins. Ask for help. The Lord gives help through his church, primarily. And know that Christ will appear in glory. And you will appear in glory with him if only you hold on to this idea and struggle with it in your mind. Truly, the gospel's a glorious thing. Who wants to be forever on this earth with its ugliness and its sin and its darkness and its pain? That's not what our life is supposed to be. We are supposed to appear with Christ in glory. Remember this. This is why I talk to you all the time about cultivating your love for God. It's not automatic. You have to cultivate it. And I tell you to read the Psalter or to read the Gospels with intention, to say your prayers, to pray for others, to pray for people especially that you don't like. Whether or not your prayers are attentive or not, force yourself to do it. God will help you. And cultivate love for God. Like I said, it does not happen automatically. It happens with us struggling. God will help us with all of our weaknesses if we come to him with them. And truly, this is incredibly exciting news. We were born for glory. We will appear with him in glory. All that is now that is not glorious, it will all pass away. And all will be perfect. And there will be no sadness, no sighing, but life everlasting. That's the purpose of your life. Remember it. Live according to it. And when you forget it, make sure that you're not far from reading scripture or the Psalter or praying or talking to a friend or talking to me so that you remember it again. And God will help you. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. This is the purpose of your life, and this is the reason for everything you do in your life. May God bless you and help you to achieve glory. Amen.